Peter B. Collins, News and Comment, Friday, June 15th, 2012. All eyes are on Egypt this weekend.
All the old paintings on the tomb, they do the sand dance, don't you know? If they move too quick, away, they're falling down like a domino. On the buzz, our men by the Nile, they got the money on a bet. Called crocodiles, away, they snap their teeth on your cigarette.
Egyptians would like to be walking tall and experimenting with a thing called democracy. A presidential election is scheduled for this weekend, but it's anybody's guess what actually will happen. And you're about to see a pattern in our top three stories today, as it is Supreme Courts that are putting limits on democratic expression. And in Egypt, it's a real problem, as we first reported yesterday here. The top court there, which members were all appointed by Mubarak, the former dictator, has dissolved the parliament and has ruled that Shafiq, who was the last prime minister in the Mubarak government, is qualified to run for president. It appears that the generals who are still holding on to control are maneuvering to marginalize the Muslim Brotherhood candidate named Morsi, and make sure that Ahmed, or I guess in Egypt they say Ahmed, Shafiq, who was a former Air Force general and the last prime minister under Mubarak, is made the next leader of Egypt. And at that point, perhaps the generals will actually honor their commitment to step down and transfer to a civilian government. But if the Muslim Brotherhood prevails despite all of these maneuvers, will the generals hand off power? It's an open question. And I don't pretend to know from here how this is going to play out. But it is fascinating to see. And one person quoted in Friday's New York Times is Mohammed al-Baradei, who was the head of the International Atomic Energy Commission, the IAEA. It's not commission, but you know what I mean, the UN's Weapons Inspection Group. And he took himself out of the running. But he said that electing a president without either a constitution or a parliament was like electing an emperor with more power than the deposed dictator. A travesty is what al-Baradei has called this. And, well, from my perch here, thousands of miles away, that seems to be accurate. And another court case, the appeals court in Bahrain, on Thursday upheld the convictions of nine doctors. Their crimes were treating protesters who were injured in the government crackdown on the protests in the Gulf nation. Nine other doctors were acquitted. But the ones convicted are all Shiites, and they were among thousands of people arrested during the crackdown last year. Ah, courts and democracy. Sometimes a very dangerous combination. As we await the decision of the Supreme Court from its conference on Thursday, June 14th, related to the case we've been covering in depth here, the appeal of Montana's ban on corporate campaign contributions, a ban that has been in effect for 100 years. And we've seen the internal maneuvering that the U.S. Supreme Court apparently engaged in. It could have been Justice Kennedy, but we don't know. And I'm referring to the fact that the name on the case was changed in a way that could allow them to slip around the 11th Amendment claim that has been brought by activist Adam Fergatch and his attorneys, Rob Hager and Carl Mayer. We will continue to watch over the weekend and expect some sort of announcement on Monday, coupled with the announcement on the court's decision on aspects of Obamacare. So it's going to be a busy few days at the Supreme Court, but it looks like we will have no inkling before Monday morning. If you want to check, SCOTUSblog.com is a good source of updates on the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, we finally have a report from an independent group called the Fraser Group from Baltimore that was hired by the city of Oakland here in California to investigate police misconduct during the Occupy protests last fall. And this group got $100,000 to prepare a report. And what a disappointment it is. Because it focuses on technical police management issues, like whether or not the watch commander for the evening events had properly coordinated with the watch commander from the morning events where they had busted up the encampment at Franco Gawa Plaza and evicted the Occupy protester, taken down their tents. And, you know, that's fine, but it doesn't get to the central issue of this out-of-control police department that fails to adhere to the standards that it has agreed to under federal court supervision. And this goes back to previous disturbances and police misconduct originating from what was called the Riders scandal that's almost 10 years ago now. And so we really didn't find out much more about the injuries that were administered to Scott Olson, the 24-year-old Iraq War veteran whose head was injured, and the very weapon used against him, a beanbag gun, is not permitted under the consent decree that the Oakland Police Department agreed to with the federal court. And we also believe that Olson was injured by a second projectile, which was a tear gas canister hurled into the little throng where people were gathering around him because he was injured by the beanbag. Judge Thelton Henderson is the federal district court judge who oversees Oakland and its wayward police department. I'm sure he will not be pleased, and we'll see what kind of sanctions he may visit on the city of Oakland and its police department. Calls originating after 40 years. Justice for the Native Americans at Wounded Knee, South Dakota. This is a case that I've followed for decades now. And the best known victim of this is Leonard Peltier, who remains in federal prison to this day. But activists for the Native Americans and the Oglala Sioux tribe have demanded new investigations because in the 1970s, there was violence that followed the Wounded Knee standoff, and a disproportionate number of people died. 75 people were killed. And the implication here is that some of those people may have been acting at the behest of our government and the FBI in settling scores from the standoff between activist Indians and FBI agents and other forces. And I welcome a full investigation. I hope that it will occur because justice has not been done at Wounded Knee. Well, in the state of Michigan, there is quite a controversy over a member of the legislature, Representative Lisa Brown, who was taking part in a debate about an abortion law that would attempt to deny an abortion to a rape victim or to a woman whose life is in danger. And Lisa Brown is Jewish. And so in the debate, she took the position that Christians were trying to impose their values on her. Because she pointed out that under Jewish law and tradition, abortion is not banned. And then she uttered the V word. Yes, she actually said in public on the floor of the legislature the word vagina. Now, just for your knowledge, the word vagina is not considered to be off color. It is not profane or obscene. It's not one of George Carlin's 7 banned words by the Federal Communications Commission. And it is a technically accurate term for that part of a woman's anatomy. And what Lisa Brown said was, I have not asked you to adopt and adhere to my religious beliefs. Why are you asking me to adopt yours? And finally, Mr. Speaker, I'm flattered that you're also interested in my vagina, but no means no. Well, these conservative Christians who want to impose their alleged moral values on a woman's right to choose an abortion just fall apart. They go to pieces when the word vagina is used. And so they responded by banning her from speaking through the end of the session, which is today, Friday. And it's unclear if the ban will continue when they reconvene in July. And one of these nutballs, Republican Mike Calton of the town of Nashville, Michigan, said what she said was offensive. It was so offensive, I don't even want to say it in front of women. Huh? I would not say that in mixed company, he says. Well, prudishness is one thing. But to be so squeamish and to use the power of the chair to silence a lawmaker who's making a legitimate point about a bill that is before the body, this is just the height of ridiculousness. But there's more. Because as they attempt to roll back the rights of women to choose an abortion, we see that there's a lot of injustice that goes on in terms of sexual perverts. I have affirmatively chosen not to cover the Jerry Sandusky trial in Pennsylvania. I think it's overcovered, and the issues speak for themselves. The plight of the victims is something that brings a great deal of sympathy and compassion from me. But there are a lot of other Jerry Sanduskys out there, and they're getting away with it, and some of them are doing it under the color of religion, whether they are Catholic priests, Christian ministers, or just holy rollers who are holier than thou. And we're now learning about the depth of perversion in the Boy Scouts. They actually had a set of files which they called the perversion files. And they were kept secret for many years, but a court has ordered them released. And this is related to a civil case in 2010 about the abuse of six boys by a scout leader in Portland, Oregon. And what we've seen here is that the sexual crimes of Boy Scout leaders occurred, were monitored, were recorded for many years. At the same time as the Boy Scouts as an organization tried to blame gays and say, well, we can't have any gay scout leaders. Well, that kind of scapegoating is not only misguided, it's pernicious. And it's an attempt to shift focus and shift blame from out-of-control heterosexuals. The problem in the Boy Scouts is not gay scout leaders. It's people like Jerry Sandusky, predatory males who have the authority over people and the confidence typically of parents and are able to operate at will. One of the sources I use almost every day is Citizens for Legitimate Government. And if you visit their website, it's legitgov, legitgov.org. And Lori Price puts together a daily news digest and often finds stories that don't come across my computer desk otherwise. For example, extremely high radiation detected on the floor above a crippled Fukushima reactor. That's number two. The readings of 880 millisieverts per hour were detected on the fifth floor, and that was taken by a robot, but it suggests that the radiation levels there remain extremely dangerous. And contrast that with the decision of Japan's central government to restart nuclear reactors in other parts of the country. And I'm saddened by this because Japan was getting by for most of the past year without nuclear power. And with the hot summer weather, the need for air conditioning, they made a choice to sacrifice short-term comfort and perhaps the cost of power generation for the long-term risk of continuing to operate nuclear power plants. The Obama administration announced today that they're going to extend work permits, I guess we would call those green cards, but maybe there is a difference, to some 800,000 children of illegal immigrants who were born and raised here in the United States. And these are people who also would fit the criteria for the DREAM Act. And I think this is an important progressive step by a president who I often criticize for being so conservative. And he's going to take heat from it. The Romney forces of repression are firing it up already. But it's interesting because without knowing of the White House announcement, the LA Times profiled Sergio Garcia today. He was sworn in as a lawyer at a courthouse in Chico, North State, here in California, last year. He passed the bar on his first attempt. The only problem is he's not an American citizen. And his life as a lawyer ended after just a couple of weeks. He now works alongside his father as a beekeeper while the California Supreme Court determines whether he should be allowed to have a license to practice law, despite the fact that he is not a citizen. And this is the perfect example of somebody who, as Bill Clinton once said, worked hard, played by the rules, and got shafted anyway. Also, CLG notes that my friend Bob Fetrakis, who has been working for election integrity, has been a tireless investigator of the stolen presidential election in Ohio. He lives in Columbus, the 2004 election I'm referring to. And Bob Fetrakis took a look at the Wisconsin recall vote process last week. And he writes, "If vote rigging prospers, none may call it vote rigging. It may simply become the new norm." And he points out, as others have, that the recall vote in Wisconsin produced a significant 7% discrepancy rate between the unadjusted exit poll and the so-called recorded vote. 7%. That is the margin of victory that was finally assigned to Scott Walker. In actual social science, says Fetrakis, this level of discrepancy, with the results being so far outside the expected margin of error, would not be accepted. So go to freepress.org. I think that's the right one. If you just enter freepress.org, it'll take you to a window to choose between Free Press, the group in Washington, D.C., and Free Press, which is Bob Fetrakis's free online newspaper based in Columbus, Ohio. And read that one in detail for yourself, will you? And finally today, in India, women are fighting for the right to pee. Maybe you've heard about this story. I'm sure it's getting a lot of play because it produces giggles and grins. But it's a serious issue. The right to defecate. The right to be able to relieve oneself. And particularly in the slums of Mumbai, where the ratio of toilets to people is 1 to 300, women are complaining because they often have to pay to use a toilet. The report, almost always a male attendant oversees the toilets collecting fees. Men must pay to use a toilet, but can use urinals for free. But women are regularly charged just to urinate, and I'm not sure if anybody actually inspects the bowl and charges you more if you drop something more than liquids. So I hope the women win this particular battle, because I think we all deserve the right to relieve ourselves. Thanks for listening. Spread the word. We hope for a decision from the Supreme Court Monday. We'll have it right here at peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling. smile, and until then.